So welcome to another episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. I'm your co-host, Anthony Beckham, all my other co-hosts.
Jerry Brown.
And Bob Barker. Welcome to the Price is Right season finale.
I'm done. I mean, this is the fourth different character, actually. You know what? I'm finished. Like, we don't know who he's not Marcus anymore. At this point, I don't know what to call him. I don't know.
Hey, man, when the season's gone the way it has, you got to let the jokes fly. You got to have a little bit of fun with this, right?
No.
Yes.
I want to be Bob Barker.
You don't have to keep him crying. Respect Bob Barker.
Oh, I respect Bob Barker, which is why I would never try and call myself Bob Barker. The man is a legend.
I could have said Drew Carey.
That's what you should have said.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that's what we should have said. But we got a special guest joining us tonight. We have Allie Peak joining us again. She's back for more fun and more trash talking as well. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. This is fun. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it is a big, big week. It's rivalry week. Got Florida against that school out west in that town that I have no recollection of. Well, I do have recollection of, but not for that school. But, yeah, we are back. We are prepared for this game, even though it's going to be a little bit different. Because we expected to see Jordan Travis against Graham Mertz.
Yeah.
Didn't get that this week.
No, we are not.
And it's unfortunate for both players. I just want to say to both players, thoughts and prayers out to both of y'all. Praying for speedy recoveries on injuries. They were – that Jordan Travis injury was – ESPN, why did y'all show it again? That's all I got to say. Why did y'all show it again?
Whoever's in the truck was not realizing how graphic it was at the end, I think, because the first like five times I saw the replay, you literally watched the foot flop. And it wasn't until later on at the night that they started cutting it right before that happened. So I think somebody missed it, but that is definitely far more graphic than they usually show.
Yeah, because it was like circulating everywhere because I was busy doing a Twitch stream that day. And I got a text that said, Jordan Travis's leg is cooked. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And so I got sent the photo on ESPN. I was like, and I saw his foot just dangling. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
He's had a hell of a college career. He's had a really nice season this year. That sucks to go out like that.
It does.
It does.
On senior night, too. I mean, on senior night,
mm-hmm.
being honored out there, it does suck for him to go out like that, knowing the season that he's had. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and honestly, I wouldn't have been shocked if he got an invite. And I still say he should probably get an invite, regardless. But I mean, just prayers up to him. I mean, just hate it for him, hate it for him. And then with Graham Mertz, collarbone injury. But I will say this: to basically run the hell over two people. And get what, another 10 extra yards? We didn't even know he was hurt.
I didn't know he was hurt.
I'm like, wait, why is he walking to the side? Then he grabbed shoulders. Like, oh no.
Yeah, because like you don't notice he's hurt, and then the adrenaline's probably flowing.
Yeah.
And then you actually look at it in hindsight when you go back and watch the game, his arm's dangling. I'm like, wait a second.
There's not a single play that more embodies what Graham Mertz has done for Florida than that, though. You know, he has, right. When you think about the hits that he's taken this season, he has put his body on the line for Florida. Our offensive line hasn't been good. He's such a dog. He is so tough. So is he the best passer in college football? No. Is he the best runner in college football? No. But I don't know. He might be up there as the toughest quarterback in college football. And some of that is because of who he is. And some of that is just because that's how bad our offensive line was. But I mean, it sucks.
It's like he was, you know, to borrow a phrase from Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy, you know, that we get him through the portal. Everyone's like, oh God, what are y'all doing? He ain't no good. He's going to throw a bunch of picks. And then you start hearing stuff in camp, hearing some reports where it's like, okay. He might not be quite as bad as you believe him to be, and okay, and I'm like, okay, whatever. He might be solid. He may not be. We won't know until the ball gets rolled out. And then he has a really nice season. far better than any of us imagined. And he was getting the living hell beat out of him every damn Saturday. Like, he would put on the opposing team's pass rushers at noon and take them off at 3:30 like they were shoulder pads. Because there were so many times where he would throw a touchdown or have a big-time game on, like, a second down where he's on the ground, like, struggling to get up, like elbow bleeding, all of that. And I'm like, please be okay. Please be okay.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, luck just finally ran out on that front. But I'm very proud of how he played. I'm very proud of how he competed. Now he fought all season, man. Just get well soon, Graham.
And they didn't show him half the time after the game, but I'm pretty sure there were rumors that he was either crawling back to the locker room or legit had to be carried back to the locker room. I don't know how true it is, but the way he got beat up out there, I would assume that to be true.
I wouldn't doubt it for a second.
I wouldn't doubt it, but
yeah.
We're going to kind of recap this Missouri game a little bit first, even though it was a heartbreaking 33-31 loss. Proud of the effort, but, you know, there's one phrase that's going to haunt me from this game, and it would be 4th-and-17.
You know, we had a 99.9% chance to win on the ESPN game tracker or Gamecast, whatever it is, at that moment. Which the only other time that's happened this season, and then the team that was predicted to win didn't win, was Mario Cristobal in Miami when they didn't kneel at the very end.
Oh, God.
The only other game this season where there was a 99.9% chance of winning and that team didn't win.
We had all those jokes from Miami, bro. Look what happened to us.
It ain't no fun when the hurricane got the gun.
It stinks because we didn't have a shot from the jump. I don't know what you guys, you know, what you were thinking when you were watching us line up, but before the ball was snapped, I'm sitting there with my husband, Eric, and he's like, damn it, they are going to get it. And I was like, what? And he's like, look at where our linebackers are lined up. They're 5 yards off the ball. That is stupid. There is a huge soft spot between our linebackers and our DBs. They're going to hit him right there. And then that's literally exactly what happened. But that is coaching. You had a timeout prior to that 4th-and-17. How the hell are you not telling your linebackers that they need to be 15 yards off the ball? Hell, they could even start at 17 yards off the ball, 16 yards off the ball. It doesn't matter if they catch it at 12. They just need to not cross that 17 yard mark. And you created this massive window for them to do exactly what they did. But that was by defensive design, which makes it worse to me.
Yeah, because I remember I watched it, and I literally just sat there and pointed right at the middle of the field, just like your husband did. I was like, you're going to have a shot at this.
Yeah.
Especially with the why don't you call a timeout thing. That's the best time to do it because it's fourth down. The game's on the line.
Well, there was a timeout. There was a timeout. Going into that play, there was a timeout. You had all the time in the world to figure this out.
Yeah, just call it and see what they're lining up in. And it's like, okay – time out real quick. All right, let's talk it over. Let's get our ducks in a row. Reiterate to your guys, tackle. It's 4th-and-17. Line up correctly and go out there and get the stop.
Yeah.
And none of that happened.
The film of Armstrong, he's not losing it on the sidelines during that lineup, which is interesting to me because that tells me that they're lined up where he told them to be. If they told him – If he told his guys, you need to drop back. You need to not be where you normally would be. It's 4th-and-17. You need to be here or there. And they're not, you would think you would see him losing his mind on the sidelines, right? Telling them they're out of position, but they weren't, which tells me that they were in the position that he told them to be in, which is so much worse in my mind than just young players not being where they needed to be.
Yeah. I'd much rather you just screw up and bust as a player instead of the coach is putting you in the complete wrong spot and you're just hung out to dry. And then all of a sudden, boom, massive play on 4th-and-17. That's not even the worst part about giving up 70 yards. They gave up way more than that, and then they just did whatever they had to do. Run a, get a couple yards here, kneel down in the middle, get the field goal, game over.
You have a comment that says, you know, everyone looks at the 4th-and-17, but ETN not getting out of bounds allowed that to happen. And that's true, too. That's another mistake. Either one of those things don't happen and Florida probably wins this game.
Because they would have to, if he stays in bounds, they have to use their last timeout. Right. So because of that, some of the plays where they're in bounds, they don't have an opportunity to call a timeout. Mm-hmm. Now they got to continue to get up to the ball quick. But on that 4th and 17 play, there's actually one player that I blame more than anybody for that happening. And it would be Manny Nunnery, because you're already drifting back. You gotta know that if that receiver is right there and you're pretty much playing in that coverage, in that zone, you got to drift back farther, because if you do, there one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to force the quarterback to look elsewhere and you have time to allow your pass rush to kind of get there, or he's going to throw in the coverage and you have a chance to either pick it off or knock it down.
Yeah.
So if he drifts back a little bit more, that changes the whole complexion of that entire play. Yeah. But also, and we've harped on him so many times this year, Jason Marshall, you have got to be better in coverage there. You can't allow that receiver to just sit, to go get to that zone there, and then just sit there waiting to wait for the ball. Like, what are you doing to where you're waiting, where he's waiting for the ball, and you're just standing there?
Well, if our DBs had been at like 20 yards off the ball, then everything would have been in front of them, which it's obviously way easier for you to step into defending something than it is for you to go behind yourself, which was the position that we put ourselves in. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, starting with the scheme that was called, and then, you know, lack of awareness, I think, is probably what you would refer to it as, of the players on the field. But, you know, it was bad. It was inexcusable. And there's probably three or four things that don't happen and Florida wins that game. You know, any one of three or four things. But this is the number 9 team in the country. They were 12-point dogs. They fought their ass off the entire game. I think there is good that you can pull from this. And I don't need a participation trophy. I'm not saying that, you know, this isn't a moral victory, but there's building blocks there.
And then with Cody Schrader, who's been gashing defenses on the ground for a good part of the season, he had like 2 yards in the second half. So you tighten up there on the ground. The pass game killed you, but that's just what Missouri does. It is what it is. But there was some things to be encouraged by. They got decent pressure in the second half. They stopped the run, like I said. And there's something there very, very deep down in the crevices of this team where it's like, okay, we're learning something here. Yeah. Something's improving. It's just getting every other gear to turn.
I mean, the offensive play calling was pretty good throughout. That's a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah, I had no complaints whatsoever, really, for the first time all season.
Yeah.
And shout out to Max Brown for coming in a tough situation on the road against the number 9 team in the country. And he rebounded from the handoff, in which he took responsibility for, which shows leadership qualities there. But to come in and play the way he did, he pretty much led us down the field and gave us a chance to win. Like, we pretty much had the game won because of the way he played when he came in. So on top of that, his ability to run brings a whole different element to this offense. You kind of saw kind of a flashback with Anthony Richardson when he ran the ball, but a glimpse into the future with DJ Lagway, what the offense could look like. So
his RPO, so good. I'm sure he wishes he had that fumble back. That is something that I hope coaches take a good look at, because there's part of me that wonders if that happened because he doesn't practice with the ones enough. And truly, like, if you think about how Urban Meyer used to run practices, your ones and twos would intermingle a lot. And the reason is kind of, I think, what we saw on that. When he went to hand the ball off to ETN, he hit him in his elbow, which tells me that he's not used to finding that mesh spot for ETN. And that's probably because he's used to practicing with the backup. And, you know, the textbook would tell you turn your entire body and put the football in his belly button. But in reality, we're used to what we're used to, which is what you practice with. So I'm assuming that the running back that he practices with, you know, the backups, has a little higher mesh point. And that's exactly what we saw happen. But I think there's lessons for the coaching staff to be learned there, in that you really should be rotating who these quarterbacks are practicing with, any guy that could potentially see the field, because that was costly.
That's such an interesting thing with backup quarterbacks and just backup players in general when they come into games, because I remember saying this when we were watching the Thursday night football game between the Ravens and the Bengals, and Burrow went down, and I forgot Dan QB's name was.
Jake Browning.
Yeah, Jake Browning. Yeah, he had to come into the game. And mind you, the Bengals still have Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, all these guys out here. He was throwing to Trenton Irwin early and often every time they had to drop back the pass. And I was like, you know you have Jamar Chase in this field, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's not who it's used to throw to.
Right. Like, in his case, yeah, Trenton Irwin's like the wide receiver 4, but in practices and in camp and all that, he's wide receiver 1 for Jake Browning.
Yep.
So it kind of just ended up being what it was, and it cut off a lot of their offense. But back to Max Brown, he really showed me a lot. He showed me the ability to come in, as unprepared as he may or may not be, to have to come in and play. He did what he had to do, and the fumble was what it was, but he recovered, dusted himself off.
The fact that he recovered from that and then led 2 drives down the field is incredibly impressive, and I think speaks to his mental fortitude, you know, because a lot of people would have crumbled after that. You know, that was a high-pressure situation. You're already emotional because, you know, your starting quarterback, your friend, the leader of your team is going immediately to the locker room. That's, you know, you've seen almost no time at all, you know, on the field. It's Missouri at night. It's cold. It's windy. It's loud. It's definitely an underrated atmosphere, I think. And so, I mean, all the props in the world. And I kind of props to Billy Napier for letting him throw the ball first play in there, because that is very un-Billy Napier-like, I feel like.
It's unhead coaching, like in football, for the most part, I feel like, because I get why coaches are wary of letting their backups run their offense, but he's a quarterback on your roster. He knows the playbook. Mm-hmm. Let him run it.
Yeah.
I think at this point, we had nothing to lose. I mean, you got to let him go out there and play. I think Max's ability to just run the ball, man, like we said earlier, just opened up so much. And I was shocked at how smart Max is and how crafty he is as a quarterback. I mean, you see a lot of the traits that we saw from Anthony Richardson and some things we saw from Graham Mertz this year, to be able to escape and make something happen with his feet, especially with the offensive line struggling at times. I will say, as far as the offensive line goes, I did notice they looked a little bit improved as the game went on after, you know, certain things happened. But I'm encouraged by the performance, man. Just overall, I think it's the little things. Like, we could easily be, 7-4 if we took care of the little things.
Mm-hmm. 2 plays have kept us from 7-4.
Yeah, bro.
That 17 play, and then the end of the Arkansas game in regulation.
The end of the Arkansas game was awful. This game, while we can point to little mistakes, I think that there's – I don't know how you watch that and feel anything, but, like, damn, that was a fun, hard-fought game. Yeah. I don't know about you, but, like, it's not only fun when we win. Obviously, I want to win, and winning is more fun. But, like, I think I can watch a game all the way through and recognize what a good football game this was, even if at the end my team didn't win.
It kind of reminded me of 2020 when we played Alabama in the SEC Championship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a fun game to watch, though we lost.
Yeah.
But nobody gave us a shot to win that game. And we could have and probably should have won that game. But, I mean, it was still a fun game to watch. It was one of those things where, wow, Kenny.
I mean, we got less penalties.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But
sometimes it's addition by subtraction, y'all.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think when it comes to watching games, it all depends on your perspective going into the game, right? Like, if you go into a game expecting to play very well and to win the game, like, if we were number 9 in that instance and Missouri was not ranked, we'd say that was a horrible game, right? But 100%. Because the expectations were lower, we're like, okay, we did pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Alabama. Okay, it's Alabama. We went in there, we fought, we did pretty good, right? But I think even though Missouri is number 9 in the country, I still look at some of these games with a Gator fan that saw the 06-08 teams. Yeah. That lens, like, we're the Gators, bro. Like, I don't want to be in the dogfight with Missouri regardless, you know. But I do believe we put up a good fight, man. I'll give us that.
I do want to say about Missouri really fast. I do remember the first time we had you on here, Allie, when we talked about Missouri while going to the schedule. They're such a fascinating program to watch because either they win, they lose like seven games in a given year, or they lose only like one or two.
We don't play well in Columbia. This is one of the, you know, it is a very tough game for Florida. It is cold, like I said, windy. We don't do well there for whatever reason. Going into this, we were 2 of 5. So now we're 2 of 6 trips there. It is not some place that we have done well. And, you know, I agree. There are programs I'm like, we're Florida. We should always beat blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't look at Tennessee as a rivalry because I'm used to us beating Tennessee. And honestly, even Georgia, you know, when I was in school there, that wasn't a question. We were beating Georgia's ass. That's how it went. But I think you can recognize that number 9 team in the country, 8-2, 12 point dogs from Vegas. Vegas usually not pretty far off from what the reality of the game will be. Yeah. And I don't think there's any harm in recognizing that we see growth. It doesn't mean that we are satisfied with the product. It doesn't mean that we're happy with the outcome. But I think that it's rational to say, hey, they're making steps in the right direction. Like, they're not there yet. This isn't to the Gator standard. This isn't – he's going to have to improve or he's not going to have a job. Yeah. But this was very different than watching us crumble against Kentucky.
Yeah, for sure.
This felt very different.
And the worst part about the Kentucky game is, look what happened to Kentucky the rest of the way.
They always beat us, and then all of a sudden, they start getting their asses kicked every game. It's like, come on, man.
It's like, it's going to be all of a sudden, they're going to be a contender, and they're going to be in Kentucky.
Like, why didn't you play like this against us?
Exactly.
Like, come on, man. Well, they kind of did, except Ray Davis decided to turn into no pun intended. No, I ain't gonna say it. He basically decided to turn to Barry Sanders that game. So
he watched that Tyron Davis Price tape from that one year where he ran for like 200 plus on us and said, I'm gonna do that.
Yep.
And speaking of Vegas, did you see where the line for this game started? That line is dropping and continuing to drop. Like, it started off, I think, at 6.5, and the last time I looked, it was down to 4. Don't know if it's dropped anymore, but right now it's about 4.
So, it's interesting to see, man.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
but this is the game you do not want to bet on if you're someone who regularly wants to look at these lines.
We could have beaten them last year in Tallahassee.
We should have beaten them last year.
We should have beat them last year in Tallahassee. This game is almost always incredibly close, but it may be an advantage to Florida to be playing a quarterback that they have almost no film on and a quarterback that they have to scheme for because he can use his feet. And that's a complicated thing. We know he can run, but we don't really have a whole lot of tape showing us he can run. So we don't really know his tendencies. We don't, you know, it's very different than what they have prepared for had it been Graham Mertz. And that might be an advantage for Florida.
Right.
And I already know like what they can do everywhere else in their offense. Like, Betts is a good runner. Toa Fili can run in between tackles, so you know you have to prepare for that. On the outside, you have Coleman and Wilson. So you get that already on the tape, but you don't know how it's going to mesh with this new quarterback. Is he going to bail when someone starts getting open and he feels some pressure? Is his first instinct to just throw a lollipop up? Like, we don't know, but
I just did an interview with a guy that does a podcast talking about it, breaks down the X's and O's of Florida State football, breaks down all the games. He's incredibly analytical. He's super smart. And what he was telling me is that he feels that Tate Rodemaker has very little pocket presence in comparison to Jordan Travis. And that with Jordan Travis, he can take a busted play and get 20 yards out of it because that's just who he is. His offense line can completely, you know, collapse and it's okay. He's going to turn a negative play into a positive, and that Rodemaker doesn't have that ability. And that his biggest fear is sacks because he just has no pocket presence, which is interesting because, you know, we have not been great at getting sacks this year, but you know, maybe there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. And some of the things I was watching Roll It podcast last night. They had Kenny Shaw in there saying, hey, Rodemaker is more mobile than we think. Might be true, but yeah.
But pocket presence and being mobile are different things.
Yeah, it's different.
Exactly.
It's like you played at the college level, played a little bit in the pro. Like there is a distinct difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mobile, but if your pocket presence isn't good, that mobility is not going to matter.
Especially if you have somebody like breaking open, but you feel like phantom pressure and you just bail and then make it harder on yourself, you just have to throw it away. Like that's a 7 points off the board you could have had, but because you got fooled and you had happy feet, you just took off.
I'm interested to see. Florida State has a pretty good defense, better than, you know, probably at least half the teams that we saw this season, if not more than that. They have not given up 30 points in any game this season. And we have scored 30 points in the last 5 of 6. Obviously, Georgia is the exception there. So obviously something has to give. But if we're going to win, we're going to need to score 30 points.
They're giving up 30 this week.
I hope so.
Well, that we just got. I wish I could put this tweet up. You know what? I'm just going to show it to you. So, Allie, you're going to laugh at this. They pretty much told us that we should have just.
You're right. Oh,
my God.
Oh, my gosh.
You should have asked me. I would have done it.
Oh, J Money, I was at that game last year. I probably saw you and didn't even notice it. Because I was at that game last year in Tallahassee, and I remember leaving pissed off because, really, mostly because of the third quarter. And I feel like if we can correct the coaching errors that we had in that quarter from last season, then not only do we win the game, but I feel like that, on top of the fact that Max Brown has running ability, I feel like that's going to open up the run game even more. Because if you notice, when he came in, Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson were gashing Missouri. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, because now you have to account for him. I feel like if we do that, then it could be a long – it could be a good
night. Why did we not do that in previous games, too? Did you have that thought when you're watching Max Brown, like, damn, why did we not ever think about bringing him in? And particularly
definitely
get the run game going.
Yeah, maybe some short yardage stuff. Maybe just have a guy that you have to do your math on.
I actually agree with Pop. Shout out to you. You know he's a Georgia fan. He's always on here, and he's got great takes when we're talking about Florida. Really, any
interestingly, Florida's offense is going to be one of the very best that Florida State has faced, which is interesting given the criticism that Florida's offense has gotten this year. But statistically, this is going to be one of the best offenses that this defense has faced. So I might agree on the fool's gold.
I do remember that, they do have trouble with mobile guys. I remember very distinctly that Boston College game. Mm. They could not stop Boston College's quarterback on the ground at all.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, man, because I believe, like, I do see the fact that our offense is improving, but at the same time, I believe that situational coaching and complementary football is a real thing, right? Like, we may put up these points, but sometimes we're trailing when we should have executed on the drive before to get a touchdown, you know, and then we go up with momentum, defense can get a stop. But instead, we put the defense in tough situations, the defense put the offense in tough situations to dig themselves out of a hole. And so that's kind of what happened last year as well. Like, we got up and then we kind of gave up a lot. So it's going to be interesting. I think we have to generate pressure for sure. We got to be physical up front. I always believe the games that we win, we do well in the trenches. Again, we lose, we kind of get beat up in the trenches, right? So that's one thing. The biggest concern for me is the outside cornerback, wide receiver. Keon Coleman is a first-round draft pick, and he's, you know, going against Jason Marshall. If Jason Marshall wants to get paid, this is the game he can do it, you know? So.
And speaking of DBs, Jerry, I hate to do this scene, but Alan, we know you pressed the time. You got to get off at 8:45. But I got two things. First, your prediction on the game, but before that, so Jerry's been pushing this agenda.
Who else is new?
He's not getting on the field. Can you explain to Jerry, besides off field, the reason why Kamari Wilson's not getting on the field over Miguel Mitchell?
I mean, it is my assumption that he has to earn his way back into the good graces of the program to be able to do that. I know that at least earlier in the season, he had expressed interest in playing ball elsewhere. So, you know, I have heard in recent weeks that he's been around a little bit more, but is he around a little bit more because he wants to get some film so he can go somewhere else? I don't know. But I think that's probably between him and the coaches. And listen, our DBs as a whole absolutely need to improve. I'm a firm believer that our defensive line's not doing them any favors, though. And that's making the situation look worse than it is. But we need somebody to teach us to tackle. That's a bit like, and you know what? Gang tackle. If you're not good enough to do it by yourself, then you got to figure out a way to slow your man down until the rest of your teammates get there. And for some reason, that is not something that we have figured out. Hopefully on Saturday, we will have figured it out. I'm not particularly hopeful, but that's the one thing if there's one thing we need to work at, you need to take better angles and you need to freaking tackle. That's it. Yeah. Wrap up.
Yeah, Benson's a load, man, so we better be tackling for sure.
Right, and also, before you get out of here, prediction on the game.
You know what? I'm going to go 31-28, Florida. I think this will be close, and I think the Swamp is going to have a lot more of effect on Tate Rodemaker than it would have had on Jordan Travis. I think that if fans can bring it, it can help.
I love that.
Let everybody know where they can follow you and watch and stream your podcast and everything.
Well, my Twitter's right there at Allie_Peak. And inside, you can follow me, A Peak Inside the Gator Football on YouTube. But you can also go to Twitter and find it through my profile there. I appreciate you guys. This was super, super fun. And we are definitely going to have to do it again. Maybe we'll get a bowl game.
Oh yeah!
Ah yes.
Wait, can we get a bowl game at 5-7? Just curious. I think one year that happened.
But they're gonna look at a few different things, and so there's some teams that may be more appealing than Florida. But in theory, there could be a 5-7 bowl game. It kind of depends on how the rest of the year shakes out for everybody else. But maybe we're sitting at 6-6. Say that.
If they look at strength of schedule, I think we win.
You would think brand value would mean something too. We'll sell the tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's facts.
We'll bitch about it, but we'll sell the tickets.
There we go, damn it. Gary Nation's everywhere, damn it. We will be there by hook or crook.
And we're glad, but we're there.
And no, Rob, she will not forget about Gary Nation once ESPN comes calling.
You are a Gator for life once you are a Gator once, bro. You
know, hey, Allie Peak over Meth Bowens.
Just remember, help us join ESPN when you do, because
it'll be a group effort. We'll all be there.
But now that we did forget about the do right thing coming on. But yeah, we win this game, you know what to do.
Yep. Hey, facts. We got to get her one. We got to send her one to her address and bring it back on. She can wear a do rag on the show.
There you go. If we win, I will come back. I will wear one.
Oh, my God. You heard it here first.
Let's go. Yeah, we definitely appreciate you for coming on with us and talking about this game with us.
Of course. This was fun. I will see you guys later.
All right, Allie. Good having you on always.
All right. Bye.
That was Allie Peak.
Durag Allie.
Going to get this done.
Hey, Jerry, you know what to do, man. You put your editing skills to use.
Hey, look, man. We're going to have her own. We're going to send. If we win this game, we got to send her. We got to send her a durag to her address. You heard it here.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Because heard it here. If we win this game, there is going to be things that we got to do. The things we do for y'all, we know y'all want to see that. We're going to get it done for you. We are going to get this done for y'all.
Yeah.
We will do this. We have a job to do. And we have a job to
do. And not just us. The football team got a job to do.
Yeah. First and foremost. So I will confess to everybody that I was not watching the entire game. I was ice skating. I watched about up to halftime, and then I left. And I was asking my boys here what was going on. I thought I was – because ABO was on bad luck, so I decided not to watch, you know, just like – and we still lost. So I didn't watch the fourth down play. I didn't watch anything, bro. I didn't know what was going on.
So I have a confession to me too. I like was watching it, but not really watching it, because I also had a stream that day, and I was watching Two Men Bleed in the AB's favorite city in the world. But the things I saw, I was very encouraged by. And
same.
Hold on, Marcus. Time out. What city is that?
The City of Angels.
Not my favorite city in the world, but one of my favorite cities.
Your favorite city in the world is Gainesville, right?
Pensacola. Man, respect your hometown?
I respect my hometown, but there ain't no way in the world I'm going to sit here with a straight face and say this is my favorite city in the world. Not saying that with a straight face. You all know what my favorite city in the world is. It is in the state of Florida, though.
Oh, Destin.
You like Destin, right?
No. Y'all know where.
This man says Stark.
Streets is saying, AB is a frequent guest of the beautiful city of Opa-locka.
Oh, my God.
No, but Opa-locka is there.
AB, I don't know. Miami?
Hialeah?
Ding, ding, ding. No, Jerry said
Miami. Damn. I respect it. As long as you're not going there for a football game, I respect it.
I've done that a couple of times, but wasn't ready for the football part.
Wait, hold on. If the Cowboys and the Dolphins are playing there.
Pro, that's different. Not college, though. Don't go watch college.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch Florida and Miami. Like, why would I do that?
But I have gone to a couple of those games back in, like, 2017, but that wasn't for the actual football.
Yeah. So, I do kind of want to get into, like, a little bit of the Missouri game, just a little bit more in depth. Mm-hmm. So, from what y'all saw, were we just not – because the first half, I felt like the defense did pretty good. Like, I felt like we were holding our own. What changed in the second half? Did we just not adjust?
The first half, I will say the running game was absolutely gashing us. Schrader was just running through open hole after open hole, and we just didn't take very good angles. Mm-hmm. Second half, we buckled down, and most of his yards came in that first half. He only had two in the second.
Okay.
The hard thing is to get in any level of football only two rushing yards in half. But that's when the passing game really started to just kill us. Like,
it was a tip pass touchdown, right?
Yeah, bro. Like, Brady Cook got whatever and whenever he wanted anything through the air. Burden is Burden. Theo East, he made some nice timely catches. I mean, that receiving core is difficult for anybody to stop in the country.
Yeah.
But we just made it way too easy.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like that was somewhat like preparation for this coming week here? I mean, do you think that could somewhat simulate what we're going to see with Keon Coleman? And is Johnny Wilson healthy?
He'll be out there, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know if he'll be healthy, but he'll be out there.
Yeah.
That's a challenge because they have size that Burden and those guys don't really have.
Yeah. And they're strong. We got to be able to tackle, man. There was one play I saw where a certain player got ran over.
I'm not going to say the name. What position he played.
But we all saw that.
He shares a name. With one of my favorite kids' TV shows,
Eminem. A certain dessert, M&M's. I ran over, man. I'm just like,
call him a dessert.
Is it definitely a dessert? If you can put it on ice cream, it's dessert.
Cold Stone got it, don't they?
You can put it in cookies.
There we go.
You know, come on, you know, bro. Yeah. It's a dessert accessory. But, I saw that and I was a little bit frustrated by that. I will say, man, I can't say this enough. What we have in ETN and Trey Wilson, just
even run that ball.
Just special, man.
He just makes something out of nothing every time I see him touch it. And then, Montreal, I love him to death. God bless him. He's one of those guys that if the hole was right there, he's going to make a man miss. He'll run through somebody and get what you need to get. ETN's going to turn chicken soup. He's going to turn chicken dung into chicken soup.
You know what's really funny about y'all saying this? Do y'all know that they have the same amount of rushing yards on the season?
Who? Oh, yeah. We have a bet, too. We have a bet with Tim. with Tim and Talking Sauce. Remember, this game is going to determine it's going to determine who wins, bro.
Billy, what you're listening?
You're on Tim and Talking Sauce, bro. It was basically like whoever has the most predictions correct. Like Ricky Parasol is going to lead the team in receptions and yards. Graham Mertz is going to throw over under however many interceptions, which we all got wrong. He threw 3 interceptions this year.
Very happy to get that wrong.
I had the least amount of interceptions.
You had 7. You had 7, I believe.
7.
So you would win that by default. And then ETN and Montreal.
Oh, by the way, I mean to cut you off, Jerry, but something really significant just happened in this Kansas City Chiefs Philadelphia Eagles game. Patrick Mahomes got caught from behind on a scramble.
What?
Yeah, he tried to sneak through the pocket, like in the middle, and then Jalen Carter just got him by the ankle.
Oh, because he's generational, bro. I mean,
it's 7-7 right now. 3 and out, Kansas City just got forced into. They're punting right now.
Generational, bro.
Don't need Philly winning nothing.
I do.
No, forget them.
Seating purposes, baby.
Celtics are winning. Awesome. I love it. All right. Hopefully, this keeps it. Go ahead, AB.
Jerry.
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is what was crazy because when you watch the game, it sure didn't seem like it.
That pendulum, when pendulum swing one way and they swing the other, that shit swung all the way over here, all the way over here in the second half and just stayed there. I don't know what happened. I don't know what got into our run defense.
I do. It wasn't just that. It wasn't just that. Oh, ain't nobody hating but forget y'all. But it wasn't just that, though. You know what it really was?
What's it?
Max Brown's running ability.
Yes.
To account for it. And we started, and we in Montreal and Trevor just started gashing them.
Because when usually when the offense is out there, you got okay, you got 2 wide receivers out there, you got the running back. That's like 3, and a tight end if it's pass, but that's 4 guys you're thinking about. And then we have a quarterback that has mobility, that's 5. So the math changes dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And then them having to actually count for him and say, okay, you got to really stay, you got to contain right here, you got to stay home. He might burn you. And then when you don't, or if it's a scramble drill,
that's amazing. Pass
play, he could leak out through the middle or through the boundaries and make a guy miss and get and steal like 7-8 yards and a couple big third downs where he did just that.
And this right here is not a typo. Those were the rushing yards.
And this is something we spoke on, man. We spoke on early in the year talking about the differences between Anthony Richardson and Graham Mertz and what Graham would bring, you know, with him just throwing the ball, but. We knew that because he wasn't a necessarily mobile quarterback, he wouldn't be as much of a threat in the RPO. But, you know, you bring a guy out there that can run the ball a little bit and keep defenses honest, keep the edges honest. Shoot, man. Those running backs will get through those holes in the offensive
line. Brown gave us 42 yards on like 7 carries, so that's big. Plus when Montreal is getting 85 and ETN is getting 82 – that's perfect balance. And if Pierce had to run for 39 for the touchdown, that was also massive.
And don't forget, last year, I mean, FSU pretty much brought everybody back. During that game, we had success running the football regularly.
We did.
Regularly. And was Osiris playing in that game?
He was.
He was, yeah.
And I don't think he was.
No, I think he was out that game.
Wait. Actually, no.
He was out. It was him. It was a lot of guys out.
I went to that game. He was out.
And we were still.
I had half a team in the entire receiver corps of UF Health last year.
He was at the hospital. Like, all the receivers were pretty much in the hospital except Ricky.
Yeah. Well, it was bad. But it's wrong consistency. It's just they went away from it at the wrong time in the second half. And it
was
nasty.
We had Jonathan Odom out there playing wide receiver.
Nasty.
Jordan Pouncey was out there.
Oh, no. Caleb Douglas, I love you. You
Caleb Douglas coming out party.
Family adjacent, but
unfortunately he's not playing the rest of the year either.
Yeah, man. I mean, I want to ask y'all that too, man. Do y'all feel like, you know, losing guys in the beginning of fall camp, losing Caleb Douglas, losing Pyburn, guys not being healthy like King, do you feel like all this played a role in just us not being able to manufacture some of those wins that we couldn't get?
Part of it.
I think that was part of what was that?
Hey, man.
Yeah, but like, you know, for real, man. I mean, Marcus, I feel like we had a chance. We had a chance to be 7-4 with guys unhealthy, right? If we have more guys available, and this is why I was talking to you guys last night about some of the strength and conditioning, like guys dropping like flies like this, man. It's just, you could blame, you know, George Field for Shamar James, but like,
yeah,
we just could not get healthy, man. We couldn't get everybody on the field at the same time. Lower extremity issues, I mean, upper extremity issues. It was just a tough season overall. Oh, yeah. J Money heard it.
Not too much. Not too much. You're live, pal.
Yeah, we had 5 wide receivers out that game. That was crazy. And we should have won that game because when Jordan Travis' touchdown shouldn't have counted, but, you know, we.
Oh.
And I was literally had that angle right there and then saw it. The man fumbled before he got to the end zone. It was clear as day. But
it was.
But looking at this game this year,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell me, what are you looking for, looking to see in this game? And really from Max Brown in general, like what are you looking to see from him?
Confidence. Confidence and going out there saying, hey, look, if we win this game, we make a bowl game. You know? Like, if we win this game, we make a bowl game. Go out there and play confident. Run the ball. Be poised. And feed off the crowd, man. Feed off the crowd. Have fun out there, you know?
Just run the offense with confidence. Run the boys.
Everybody, especially on social media, y'all quit lying, acting like y'all ain't going to show. Y'all know good and darn well. Y'all bought tickets to this game. Y'all sold it out. Y'all going to be showing up. Make a difference to get out there.
It's a big game, man. This is a chance for Florida to do something great at the end of the season. Like we said going into, what was it, LSU, Missouri, that stretch, we said if we lose to Missouri and LSU, we beat Florida State, we good. We happy.
Oh, did he get that ball back?
What happened?
Now, something crazy. So they threw Philadelphia threw a pick, right? Maybe they're debating it to see if Snead got up and Brown stripped him and got the ball back.
Oh God!
I think they ruled down though.
Somebody about to be sick, bro.
Yeah, that's gonna be Eagle fans. But what I'm looking to see from Max Brown, really, I agree, definitely confidence, but also the RPO game again.
Yeah,
because. You can look at it on film all week, all you want if you're Florida State. It's the difference between looking at it on film and then actually going out there and playing against it.
Because you got to respect ETN, bro.
You got to respect ETN. You got to respect Montrose. You got to respect the quarterback in the run game. And on top of that, who said it won't wrinkle in any passes with that RPO?
Oh, we definitely are. We definitely are.
Example, remember 2013 Auburn and Alabama, Nick Marshall? Kept it, looked like he was going to run. All of a sudden, he hit Sammy Coates wide open down the field. Never know. You might have a little wrinkle like that in there. So there's a lot of things that you have to prepare for with the RPO game. And looking at it, I want to see how much he runs because there's a difference between Max Brown as a runner and Anthony Richardson as a runner.
Yeah.
One of them was a willing runner. The other one really wasn't. Mm-hmm. Even though he could do it, he wasn't a willing runner because of the NFL.
Correct.
So, how much does he run? Because I feel like, hey.
He ain't got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. Last game of the regular season, you playing for a bowl game. You at home. It's a big game.
Yep.
He plays out there. It's going to be key.
And don't sleep on Max's arm. Like, Max has arm talent. I said all along. When I saw him at the practice, I said, I believe Max Brown is our best thrower of the deep ball on the team that we have this year. That's what I now Graham Merck showed me a lot, you know, coming along, but I think Max Brown can chuck that ball. Matter of fact, he threw a great jump ball to Khalil Jackson that was pretty much dead on accurate. And I was like, wow. And yeah, Rob, I think the biggest part will be defense.
Gotta get off the field.
I actually if we get at least three and outs, I do think we win.
At least three? We need more than three.
You know why? Because I have a feeling we're going to score on them all night.
You are so hell-bent on this happening.
Yeah. What about turnovers?
See, that's the one thing. Because and speaking of which, I want to go back to that real quick. I'm glad you brought that up. Because the fumble in the Missouri game. Now, I know Max Brown took responsibility for it. Who do you think was more responsible for that fumble? Because I feel like there was a little bit of miscommunication there.
There was.
I think some more equal parts because the place where the ball wasn't the greatest or anything like that. But it's one of those things where you kind of have to secure it as a back. That you have to be prepared for any scenario where the ball's not going to be in your bread basket as well as you would like it to be, especially with a backup quarterback in there. So it was just kind of a hodgepodge of just two guys not being on the same page. It is what it is.
Kenny, I would hope so.
It could. We'll have to see. It could.
Either that or just change up some of the regimen, man, because, like, I don't know, man. Yeah, Max can get the ball down the field. I will say that much.
That touchdown run ETA had, it was a big gaping hole. We just ran past everyone. Boom.
Ops, I agree with that take.
Here's the thing. That's honestly not really saying a whole lot, that last part. Because I'm going to be honest, neither secondary is really that great.
They're not good.
So, you guys think Montrez done nothing? Yeah. I don't see him coming back.
He's getting drafted.
And on top of that,
he's done enough to be a third round pick.
And on top of that, if you see the running back class for next year, go pro.
Leave that, bro.
Dang.
You have to be a fourth rounder at worst, bro. That leave that.
Don't think it's going to be a fourth rounder at worst?
I think it'll be fourth round. Is where he probably will be.
Damian Pierce was fourth round.
Okay, what if Montrell?
He didn't get the ball enough.
Whoa.
He did.
Damian Pierce was good in multiple facets of the game. Multiple.
Also, Damian Pierce right now probably isn't the best running back on the Texans, just for this streak.
Yeah, it's not been.
Well, Damian Pierce has also been hurt, too, you know. So.
Yeah, he's getting picked. They couldn't run the ball for shit all season. Now they're running the ball with consistency, so.
Well, because you got to prepare for Tank Dell cooking everybody.
Yeah, I think.
Didn't that help your ground game? You would think.
Well, I mean, Pops, to be quite honest, man, if you look at the years,
surprisingly, we've had worse.
We talked about this last night, y'all. I mean, when is the last time we had a safety that we were just 1,000% confident was going to make plays?
Christ. You?
I agree with this. Yeah. If you're a running back getting a third round grade, yeah, you go. You go. Because, I mean, it's not a whole lot of money, but it's still good money.
Did you really get a third round grade?
I don't know if he is, but he could. But even if he does, if he gets picked in the third round, then, I mean, you more than likely have a chance to make that roster anyway.
As long as nobody watches his film on catching the ball.
No, bad.
No, money. The two corners that start are bad.
No,
they're bad.
But one of them had a first round grade at the beginning of the year.
Beginning of the year 2 years ago.
I actually looked at one man in this past. It was had him going to the Cowboys.
Believe no mock drafts at the beginning of the year. I'll say that now.
Walter, was it Walter Camp? Whatever mock drafts.
That's where you lost. Walter Camp.
Trey Dean was considered a first round draft pick as well.
Walter Camp is the worst mock draft you could possibly ever look at.
It is. Matter of fact, let me see something real fast. I just want to look. I'm curious.
Right now, he's got a fourth or fifth round grade.
Which is, yeah. Fifth is about right.
65-53 at
halftime. Walter Football, 2023 mock draft.
Ew.
Yeah,
Pops, you lied to your fan base and your coaching staff lied about Kimber. He called him Kimberly.
Oh my god.
He meant Kemba, but still.
Caleb Williams at one, Drake May at two, J.J. McCarthy at three.
But that everything from what after two was nasty.
Absolutely not, Rob. Absolutely not.
No.
Four.
After J.J. McCarthy, absolutely not.
I'd rather bring back Jason McCourty.
Hey, man.
Jaden Daniels to Atlanta at nine would be kind of
cool, actually.
That would be Atlanta's immediately the favorites in that division if that happens.
Which is bad shit as it is.
Brock Bowers to the Colts.
Wish you could have told us this, Pops.
I mean, there usually is a reason for guy transfers out. 80% of the time.
That's why.
Oh, yeah. According to the reason he transferred.
Yeah, he stinks.
And you believe he was good?
Liar. Saban is a generational liar.
You believed him?
No, not anymore.
Why did you believe him at the time?
No,
the thing is, they actually do.
They do.
They know how to use the guys they draft.
Exactly. They know how to draft. They just don't know how to use them.
Yeah, that's the thing for sure. That's a big thing.
Because Drake London was a good pick. Kyle Pitts was a great pick. On the other hand.
Y'all get out now. There you go.
Who got picked?
Mahomes.
Oh, perfect.
He tried to lob one in the end zone and he got picked off by Byard.
What are y'all's predictions for this game, man, overall? Because, I mean, I honestly have – I don't even know.
I don't see – my prediction was very easy before both quarterbacks decided to go to the hospital. Now it's – I don't know a damn thing.
I'm going to do two predictions. If we win, the score is this. If we lose, the score is this.
So you think you mean now?
Yes. If we win, Florida 38, FSU 34.
I say 27-21 if we win.
If we lose.
No.
FSU. Yeah. FSU. Mm, 45. Florida. 34.
See, yeah, I'm going 27-21 if we win. If we don't, it's going to go either one of two ways. Either Florida State just has no problems whatsoever doing anything on us, and they drop like 41.
Yeah.
And their defense is enough, and Jerry Verse has a breakout game for the first time all season.
Oh, hey, please, Marcus. I can see that happen. Don't do that, man.
Oh, no. Hold on. Time out. Now, you don't want somebody to do something, but when we tell you not to do something, you decide not to listen.
I'll put in the air what I said. My hot take is going to be for next year.
Put it in. No, don't.
I'll put it out there, man.
Oh.
See, back to my scenarios. Oh.
Wow.
That's confidence. So back to my one two scenario. So that's scenario number one. Scenario number two was that they do what they've done in the back half of the season and that they'll struggle for like a quarter and a half or maybe even two and three quarters of a game. And then late in the third, they make a big play and then they just wake up in their damn stupor and decide to just go crazy in the fourth and boa constrict us. So it'll be tight. Somewhat kind of like the Miami game that they played. Something like that, if things go the second scenario.
Oh, my God.
You talk about agenda push.
I mean, y'all getting win and loss regardless.
What it do, fam?
What's up, man?
I wouldn't necessarily say they get win regardless.
Let's be serious.
Because if you got three undefeated teams and then Bama beats them,
yeah, and then they're all going to say, Georgia's better than all of them. Are or at they? Least enough of them to where they're going to get in. This happened before. They're going to get in. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to get in. They're going to get in.
They should get in. Like, what are we doing? They've been the best team all year.
Yeah.
The game is not going to hamper me from not putting them in the playoff.
My only argument, because my boy BP is a Texas fan, so what makes Georgia a better team than Texas, who went on the road and beat Alabama?
Hey.
That is very true. I don't know Georgia's better than Texas. I don't. Again,
this all could have been avoided if you didn't lose to what turned out to be a not all that great Oklahoma team.
Right? So, like, they could easily be sitting pretty, bro. Oh, my God.
Lose Oklahoma, this isn't even a question.
If they beat Oklahoma, they're the number one team in the country right now.
Well, they didn't. Now, did they? And they did have to escape that Houston game. Let's not forget that one.
Now, y'all, I kind of want to get into the – well, AB, go ahead and give your prediction, and I'll ask about this particular team after.
I turn around and Hurts got sacked.
Damn, Rob. Look at this.
Rob, that happens?
That's insane.
If this happens, I'm risking getting suspended if this happens.
You already want to get suspended, AB. We already can see it.
Don't want to get suspended, but I want to be able to troll in peace and not get suspended.
We're better than Texas. Bama's a better team than that. Texas is worse. Yes, that's true. They sure did.
Which is why nobody wants to play them. My still is bad, but then again, we're not getting a pass rush. And Jalen Hurts gets sacked again.
God, Jalen, please do something, bro. I need fantasy points, man.
It wasn't his fault. His tackle got destroyed by Chris Jones there.
I don't know what happened. I'm not watching. I just need to get
points. There ain't no blocking Chris Jones. You can forget about it.
There's really not blocking the Chiefs in general this year, to be honest.
Yeah, that defense. If you said that you want about that about their offense, that defense is really good.
Yo,
but, this play, though.
My prediction. Okay, Kadarius Toney just shook the entire Eagles special.
How did you miss him?
How does he do this?
Because he's amazing.
It's the one Kadarius Toney play per season that he makes that ends up being a significant game.
He's the goal, bro.
He cooked the Eagles. He's cooking the Eagles again.
That was even – this one was worse because you had him tackled. They blocked it well, and he used his speed.
Right. Like, the man went backwards. But okay. My prediction.
It's god-awful.
I need to see what Kadarius Toney did. That is my king. That is our team.
I'm going to say – 35-31, Florida.
Is that based off of your gut feeling, confidence?
You know, Dan, what's gut feeling?
No, it's confidence.
Has there been a game that you haven't been confident in this year?
Yes.
Outside of Georgia?
Yes.
Which one?
Surprisingly, it was actually LSU because there was no stopping that offense. I was just hoping we kept it close, but we had a chance. They played better that game than I thought they would. But LSU, I wasn't really confident in that. Just seeing the way that offense is rolling, what Jaden Daniels is doing.
Yeah, that man.
I mean, how do you stop that offense?
You don't.
You don't.
You really don't. In Florida State's case, they caught them early, so that's just.
Yeah, that's what I hate, bro. Like, catching LSU in the middle of the season once they're getting hot versus catching them early in the season is so different. But, like, you know, only SEC teams know about, like, how it is catching a team in the middle of the season when they're either hot or either when they're down, you know?
do.
No, exactly. Good. All right, y'all got final thoughts on that before we get up out of here?
Nah, man, I'm just hoping we win the game, man. I mean, I just want to get to a bowl game, just see what we look like, you know.
Best game ever.
You know what we forgot to discuss?
What's that? Hoops.
There was already a dominating dub over Florida State by Florida.
Let me tell you something. Having a point guard on the court makes a difference, doesn't it?
How about 2 point guards?
I would not go that far. I think we have one actual point guard. One
that got one true point guard, one guard that can initiate offense if the wheels are falling off.
Rob, you won't see Jack Miller, period. And it's not, and that's even if Max Brown were to come out of the game.
Dang, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Thumb surgery.
I didn't realize that. Shoot.
That was a thing that people was known already. But anyway.
But, yeah. A dominating win over Florida State in hoops. So, yeah, it does make a difference having a point guard that can initiate the offense.
Yeah.
That.
Breakdown. Don't tell them Mahomes is nothing again. But also, Marcus, you'll be happy to hear this. We got bigs that can rebound.
We got bigs that can rebound. We come a long way from Kerry Blackshear, bro. I tell you that much.
His injured hoof.
Look, Tyree Samuel's a monster on the boards. I mean, we got Hall. I mean, dog. We got bigs that can pass the ball. We got guys that can pass the ball out of the post. We got guys that actually want to cut to the basket.
Development has ever happened in my life. We need to be passing. Please, I know what the word rebound means.
That's
what we're talking about.
They're dominating the board.
Yeah.
They actually dominated the boards against Virginia, but
we kept turning the ball over. We couldn't shoot.
Well. And they kept getting to the free throw line, which is disgusting.
We kept turning the ball over that game, but damn, the Celtics going to overtime with the Hornets.
NBA's funny.
What?
But yeah, LaMelo apparently hit a shot to send it to overtime.
Are you serious?
That's about right.
Bruh, let me see what's going on with
But having bigs that can rebound.
It's tied in overtime right now, actually.
That is hilarious. Please do not lose this game, Boston. This is a game you don't need to lose.
Hey, Tatum got 43, though.
I don't want to lose it. I really don't want to lose this Charlotte Hornets, bro.
Peyton Pritchard, Jerry. 21 points off the bench.
What? Is Jaylen Brown out or is he playing?
He's playing. He has 13 on 5 of 17 shooting.
Sounds about right.
LaMelo has 36, 9, 7.
Who's defending him? Drew Holiday, are you alive?
Gordon Hayward and Mark Williams have 18 points apiece.
Oh, never mind. I forgot Gordon Hayward plays Boston like he hates us.
Jerry. You must have forgot. There's a select few players that even if Drew Holiday guards him, there is no guarding him. LaMelo is actually one.
That's freaking pain, bro.
Anyways.
But, yeah. Shout out to the women. Got a big win down in the Bahamas over Purdue, 52-49.
Good win for the ladies.
Gutsy win. And They look good right now. Oh, hold on. 2'6" and 2'7" dude.
Dog, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
They have size, and these guys can actually shoot the ball.
Say it again.
They can shoot the ball.
No! I think my ears actually deceived me. What was that?
They not only can rebound, they can shoot the ball.
Hey, bro.
It really is beautiful basketball to watch. That, especially in that first half. That was some beautiful basketball to watch. First of all, they just
wanted
to stay from the jump.
It's everything I could have asked for.
Miles Bridges hit a freaking three with 6 seconds to go in the game. We're definitely about to take
TPMB?
Yo.
TBDB this home? That's insane.
That man postmate and just shot it. Just...
You ought to be ashamed of yourself letting that man beat y'all like this.
This man beat y'all. If y'all let this man beat y'all, you know what? That is a big difference. Whoa, pause, J Money. Pause.
Oh, calm down.
Pause, J Money. But you God for sending us bigs that can
y'all see this? This is a tear. In my eye.
Dog, Tyrese Samuel takes the ball off the dribble to go to the rim. Even more tears, bro. Even more tears.
Oh, man.
It's a beautiful sight to see.
We're this golden, baby. We're golden.
This basketball team is... They're fun to watch.
They can do things that every basketball team can do.
Ain't no way. Ain't
they don't rebound, they don't score. They don't shoot themselves in the foot too much when they have a point guard out there.
Travis Kelce with a touchdown.
Let me run the Super Bowl play again.
Jason Tatum got fouled on a three. Are you kidding, bro? That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Jerry, you know he's going to miss one, right?
Yeah, he's going to go 2 out of 3. For sure. We have to foul him to get the ball back.
And if he misses the second one, he's going to miss the third one on purpose.
I mean, there's 5 seconds to go. So, I mean.
No, he's going to miss the third one on purpose.
There's no reason to. You just got a foul.
J Money.
We got timeout.
That ain't J Money. Jerry, you going to let J Money talk about your Celtics like this?
No, we deserve to lose because we should have lost yesterday because Drew Holiday missed a dunk.
Yes, go Chiefs. Yeah, that's right, bro. Oh, by the way, Rob, we got the two best corners in the NFL. One of them just happens to be out with the ACL.
Okay, can you wrap this up now?
What? This is crazy right here.
No way.
Yes, that did happen in the second quarter. Like, okay. Michael already been ejected, and then Jokic got two technicals and got tossed.
I gotta see what they're doing. Still lost. Right, who scored for them? KCP had 20 points. Reggie Jackson had 21 in 2023.
That's crazy.
Christian Brown had 15 off the bench.
That's crazy.
All but one star scored double digits.
But yeah, y'all got any more final thoughts before we go ahead and wrap this up? Since Marcus seems to want to get back to his streaming duties on Twitch.
Wait for my sanity, please.
One job, win, and ruin their season.
That's been the game plan since the middle of the year. Just vibe out and then get to 5 wins and hopefully steal one.
I did not see this.
Wait, what?
I went to overtime. Wait, J Money, did they win?
I think they did.
We missed 10 free throws.
Yikes.
Why? Wait,
did Tatum make all the free
throws? No, he went 2 out of 3, like we said.
I knew he was going to win.
He made 2 of them, missed the last one.
So y'all lost.
Well, it's .8 left. Down 3.
But, yeah. Jerry, final thought?
Final thought, man, is less – I'm kind of in off-season mode, man, honestly, bro. Let's try to win this game. Hopefully we do. And then from there, man, let's close on these recruits. Let's close on these recruits at the end of the season. Bring in some guys. Make the fan base happy. And let's develop. And let's try to go into next year with talent and experienced talent so we can make a bowl game next year and possibly go 8-4.
I hope so.
I hope. Hopefully Gasparilla.
No, stay away from that.
I want to go to Tampa.
They did 96-80. Okay. Rather have the Gator Bowl, the Tax Slayer Bowl. That being said, this has been another great episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. Also, by the way, use it.
Beard oils.
Famous free plug.
Gotta plug the beard oil. But this has been another great episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. We appreciate Allie for hopping on with us and joining us and chopping it up with us. Yes, we will. By the way, J Money, yes, we will. You know it, and I know it.
I mean, y'all might be going there again limping because that schedule with the Eagles got crazy.
You said what?
That schedule with the Eagles have to play is crazy.
And we lose to the Charlotte Hornets. Hilarious.
Damn. Damn. I can't say no. We lost to the Bulls 2 nights ago. We playing them again. So
y'all lost to the Bulls?
Yeah, we lost 2 nights ago.
Wait a minute. Wait. Pause. When y'all
were up, where was the beginning? That's the
when y'all were up 21-3. Or 21-0, something like that.
22-1.
And they lost. Yeah.
Took our foot off the gas.
This is why the NBA regular season is just comical, bro. I'm telling you, it's just comical.
Well, you had the vacation of a lifetime. How many girls' phone numbers did you give it on? But yeah, this has been another. Now, that had nothing to do with it, Rob. Yeah, nothing to do with it. But this has been another great episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. We're going to leave y'all as we always do as we speak to Talking Sauce. How y'all doing?
Yo, Talking Sauce, always good to have you, man.
We got to talk about that bet we made for the season, by the way.
Oh, yeah. AB, I think you won, man.
Did I? But we're going to leave you as we always do. God bless y'all. Go Gators. Y'all stay safe. Y'all take care of your loved ones. Tell them you love them every day. Take care of your mentals. Temple work. Take care of your chicken. Y'all know what to do. Wash your hands, wash your face. Marcus.
With soap and with water, fresh water, hot water, warm water preferably, with a nice loofah, with a nice washcloth, I need you to thoroughly, and I mean the word thoroughly, please heed my words with the utmost sincerity, wash your ass, and wear socks and shoes. Closed-toed shoes, preferably, in the movie theater, in any public setting. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving this Thursday.
Yes, Thanksgiving this Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Happy Turkey Day.
Thanksgiving to your families. We be appreciative of why we have this day. Remember that. Remember the meaning. Also, y'all, don't make horror movies called Thanksgiving no more. Come on now.
I gotta watch it. I gotta see it.
But we know you gonna see it.
I gotta see it.
You better not drag Leah with you.
Nah, I was trying to, but she was like, no, I don't want to. You know, so yeah. But also, y'all, if y'all watching, this is our third year doing this essentially, and we appreciate all y'all, man, for watching us and supporting us, man, along the way. And we're gonna keep bringing y'all this content, man. This is what we love to do. We love the Gators. So, yeah, 3 years of pain. And I will also say, next year will be our best year with this podcast when it comes to Gator football. It can only get better. It can only get better. Let's go.
Also, we'll have more merch coming out for y'all.
Yes. Temple work merch, all that.
We got to work on that. We've been slacking in that category, people. We apologize. We've been busy, though. But and by the way, what happened to that graphic designer?
Oh, that's dead.
Merch.
It's not like I have to think about it, but yeah. Dead case. It's the graphic designer is essentially Kamari Wilson situation at Florida. Just don't know what happened. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it.
That's crazy. Yeah, us. No, it ain't us. It's this guy right here.
What did I do?
That's the
question.
Every time he says something negative happens.
Sometimes the reality is the reality, and it was going to happen even if we said it or not. You know?
Sometimes that's true, but there are times where that don't be true. He says something.
This program is very true, sadly.
It's just a cycle, man.
Be positive for once.
Okay. I was positive. I said Trevor Etienne would be a great pickup for us. That's positivity. We've been taking ill since.
It's been nothing but pain, suffering, and abuse.
Oh my God.
We've been used and abused by this program for 3 years. We're doing this podcast, but the season finale is almost here.
I know what it is.
Look, Rob, the year we started this podcast, Dan Mullen got fired. That is what we came into, okay?
Wait, maybe that was a blessing in disguise. Think about it. When you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud, too.
That's true. This is just the foundation. We only going to go up from here, bro. The better it gets.
Yeah, we going up from here.
Oh, and yeah.
University got to start paying us.
Please. Help.
We'll do good things with the money.
Yeah, like get recruits.
That too.
Yeah. It's legal.
You ain't gonna get me hit with no SEC violation.
Anyway.
Yeah. We gonna see y'all next week, hopefully, in a great mood. If you see us next week, and we coming off a win. Marcus, Jared, we gonna have to come up with something for this show because it's gonna be epic.
I don't know what it is, but if we win, amen.
We touching the green, bro. Got to get Dan Mullen on here. Are you playing?
Hell no. Y'all be blessed out there. Go Gators. We'll see y'all again next week.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is Bob Barker.